He tells us here, for wisdom is better than rubies. And all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me, wisdom, kings reign and princes decree justice. By me, speaking of wisdom, princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the path of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. We have a great need of wisdom. I see some of the people who are leading our country, and I just think that if stupid could fly, they'd be a jet. I mean, I saw where our country, and I don't want to get into a lot of politics, but we knocked off a major terrorist. And I've never seen so many scaredy cats in my life, so afraid. And the attacks on our president for pulling the trigger on this, and how he's supposed to wait for Congress. Congress would never, ever have enough spine to do something like that. And by the way, the Iranian people are celebrating in the streets that this butcher is dead. And we see things like this. It's upsetting to us because we got a bunch of people leading this country that doesn't have the IQ of a rock. And we need to see wisdom. We need to have a great importance on wisdom. I want our young people and understand that Proverbs is written a lot to the young. Solomon's addressing his son. But I want you to know this. Wisdom's for everybody. And notice he says in verse 11, for wisdom. Then in verse 12, he says, I, wisdom. Then he says down in verse 14, sound wisdom. He says in verse 15, verse 16, by me, wisdom. He says in verse 17, I love them that love me and that seek me early shall find me. He says in verse 18, with me. He speaks about my fruits in verse 19. He says, I, wisdom, lead in the way of righteousness. You know, a wise man walks righteously. And we see here that he, in verse 21, he says that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance and I will fill their treasures. Over in Ephesians chapter 5, we have the instructions on how to walk in wisdom. And I have just some quick five steps dealing with wisdom. But we begin with verse 5 of Ephesians 5. Look what Paul tells the church of Ephesus in verse 5. He says, for this you know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, as people who are still stained with sin, nor covetous man, which is an idolater, have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. That spells it out pretty good, doesn't it? And that's a little bit harsh, isn't it? That's a little bit judgmental, isn't it? That's a little bit mean-spirited, isn't it? That's what people say today. That's what God says. God says the whoremonger's not going to heaven. God says the unclean person's not going to heaven. God says that idol worship, that covetous man, they have no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And he says, let no man deceive you with vain words. Just because they say hallelujah and amen doesn't mean that they're a child of God. He says, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. These are lost people, the children of disobedience. They're walking in disobedience to God. He says, be not yet therefore partakers with them. And they want to bring you in. They want to tell you you can run free. They want to tell you that sin is fun, and it is, for a season. But in the old words, the old message of R.G. Lee, payday someday. Amen. And we see here that he continues in verse 8 and says, "For ye were sometime darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." There's an expectation for God's people to walk differently than this world. We're to walk in the light. "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." God's Holy Spirit, the fruit there, will lead us to goodness. We'll be good people, we'll be righteous people, and we'll be truthful people, people filled with truth. He continues and says, "providing what is acceptable unto the Lord." It's amazing to me, people who are ignorant in some things and who are foolish in some things, thinking that God's okay with it. And I want to tell you something, God's not okay with it. Many years ago, we were sitting talking to a couple, and this lady spoke. She says, "There's this couple, and they're living together. They're not married. They're living together, but she's a good moral girl." And I want to say, you know, you must be stupid. That's that. You can't shack up like barnyard animals. You cannot be lax in immorality. You can't be lax in morality. You can't live in immorality and be a good person. It doesn't work that way. God tells us this. He tells us in verse 11, "And have no fellowship, don't associate with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Not only just not be a part of them, rebuke them, reprove them for where they're wrong in their doctrine. He says, "For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light." Let me tell you something. What Joy said in her testimony and others, There's a payday someday. You may be getting away with your sin tonight. Nobody may know about your situation tonight. Hey, listen to me. Listen to me. You may be hiding the fact that you have a porn channel. You have a porn website. Listen, you might be hiding the fact that you enjoy some kind of pornography. But I want you to know there's coming a day that that's going to be made light. That's going to be manifested. You better confess it and get it underneath the blood while you can. He says here, "For it's a shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light." Then he continues with, "Wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepest." Get up, wake up, snap up here. "And arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Now, what is involved in walking with the wise? Notice in verse 15, walk circumspectly. He tells us here to walk or to live exactly on purpose. We don't just get up and what the day has, it has, it just unfolds and happens. But have some principle. He tells us to walk circumspectly. It means to walk by rule or to walk and to live diligently. It means to live and to walk carefully, walk circumspectly. And then he says, as wise. He's not talking about some great academic knowledge here, but we are to walk or we are to live in the light of the truth of God's word. This is what he's talking about. Listen to me. Every day, every decision that you make has a reaction. There's a response to every decision. And you better be wise and make your decisions in the light of the truth of God's word. Now, we continue in verse 16 of Ephesians 5. He gives us here five suggestions to walk as a wise person. Number one, he tells us in verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. If you're going to be a wise person, listen to me, make your time count. Make your time count. We don't have forever. And I've heard this, and it's true, but the older we get, the faster time flies. There doesn't seem to be time to get everything done anymore. And if you're going to be a wise person, make the proper time, make good use of your time. He tells us redeeming the time. It's redeeming the time simply means to make the most out of your present opportunities. Redeeming the time is you make the most out of the opportunities that you have. You should consider the opportunities with your family. You won't always have that opportunity. I think that I really love my family, and I think I spend a lot of time with my family. But boy, I see some of you young couples with your children, and they come out of King's Kids, and they got a mountain full of candy. And they come out of Sunday school, and they're talking about what their lesson was. And I so much enjoy sitting around the dinner table and talking about what you learned in Sunday school and what you learned in King's Kids, what you learned in Children's Church, and talking about those things. Those days are over. When I get to spend time with my grandkids, it's such a great blessing to me. We won't always have this time. And let me say this. We won't always have this time as grandparents either. The time's coming where God's going to call us, and we're going to be leaving this earth. Make good use of your time. Make the most out of your present opportunities with your family. And make the most out of your present opportunities with your marriage. You won't always have that wife. You won't always have that husband. One of you are going to lay the others in the arms of Jesus one day. And that time of your life is going to be over with. I can't imagine after 50 years. No, I think 41 years just feels like 50. I'm just teasing. I'm in trouble now. I need to check my tea before I drink it. I met Debbie Baker when she was 18. 3 days before we were married, she turned 19. I met her. Letter to the Lord. Outside of my relationship with Jesus Christ, I don't have a greater relationship than her. I can't imagine life without her. And I hope she feels the same way. But there's going to come a day where one of us is going to lay the other in the arms of Jesus. And that opportunity will be over. It'll be done. Make the most of the opportunity with your family, with your marriage. Make the most of the opportunity with your church. You don't have the church is a living organism. That means it's changing. It changes. I've been encouraged with our church, and the spirit of our church is excellent. And the rejoicing in the Lord is tremendous tonight. And Our altar calls are such a blessing. Let me tell you something. Find something in your church and do it. Find something in your church and make your church stronger. Make your church better. Consider the opportunity for your service for God. There's going to come a day where, because of health, you won't be able to jump on that bus. Because of health, you may not be able to be as faithful as what you are. Because of health, failing health, things will change one day. Notice the robbers of opportunity. Let me tell you what they are. There's four of them. Selfishness. We got a bus you can get on if you want to get on it. Yeah, we find something here for you to do for God if you want to get busy serving God. There's something here for you to do. But selfishness robs us of this. We rather hit a little white ball around on the course. We'd rather go shopping. We'd rather do other things. I think laziness is a robber of opportunities. Lazy. We're going to get around to it. And we never quite do. I think difficulty is a robber of opportunity. If you want to do something for God, let me tell you something. It's not always easy. Not always simple. Sometimes it's difficult. Very difficult. And I think stubbornness. Stubbornness is a great robber of opportunity because you can talk to people till you're blue in the face and they still aren't going to move until they're ready to move. Five suggestions for walking as the wise. Redeem the time. Redeeming the time simply means to make the most out of your present opportunities. Number two, understand what the will of God is for your life. Ephesians 5, verse 17 says, "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." God's will is of the utmost importance. Understand God's will is personal. God has this personal will for you. I mean, there's certain things that God It's His will. It's His will for us to be faithful to the house of God. It's His will for us to give. It's His will for us to serve. These things are clear. But God has a specific, perfect will for you. His will is perfect. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to fret about it. If you're in the center of God's perfect will, you're going to be blessed. It's personal. It's perfect. It's personal. And God's will for you is not someone's will for somebody else. It's not just personal and perfect, but I found it to be pleasant. I have found pleasure in the will of God. No matter how deep I was in, no matter how difficult it was, God was with me. And boy, what a joy. The children of God was by my side. What a joy. How pleasant it is. Let me tell you something. The will of God is priceless. I can't imagine living through this world and not being in the will of God. I can't imagine what a failure of life, what a waste of life to live my life and not be in the center of God. God's will is priceless. And let me tell you this, no matter what God's will is possible, because with God all things are. Understand what the will of God is. It's God's will. He tells us it's personal, it's perfect, it's pleasant, it's priceless, and it's possible. Number three, he tells us to receive the power of the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 5, verse 18. All these in Ephesians 5. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Being under the influence of the power of the Holy Spirit is what he's talking about. He's talking about being not drunk with wine. He's making the analogy that people who drink, it affects who they are. It affects their personality. It affects how they think and what they do. We all have known people who have been under the influence of alcohol, and how some people who are kind, sometimes they end up being mean. Sometimes they end up being loud. It changes who their normal person is. And I want you to know this. The filling of the Holy Spirit, it changes who we are. It enables us. Being filled with the Holy Ghost means to be filled with the Holy Spirit power moment by moment to accomplish the work and the will of God. I can do all things through Christ Jesus which strengtheneth me. What it simply means is I can do what God expects me to do by the filling and the power of the Holy Ghost, no matter what it is. Then he tells us not just to redeem the time, and not just to understand the will of God, not just to receive the power of the Holy Ghost. By the way, we ought to ask that every morning. Every morning I ask for the filling, for a fresh filling of the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't like myself. I'm not a good person. I'm not a likable person. But I want you to know when the Spirit of God is in me, when I'm Spirit controlled, that's a lovable a person because of His influence. Ask every morning for the filling of the Holy Spirit in your life. Number four. We are to walk with wise. We need to have an expression of joy and thanksgiving to God. Ephesians 5, verse 19 and 20 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And let me tell you something. Get the honky-tonk music out of your life. You know, get it off your Instagram. Get it off your Facebook. Get it off of your tweets. What's wrong with you posting, you know, junk like that? You think that's acceptable unto God? Anybody here want to stand up and tell me that's acceptable to God? Stand up and tell me that. I don't see anybody. Think about yourself. We see here that we ought to express our joy in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making a melody in your heart to the Lord. The songs that we have, it shouldn't be about the ballads of the old West. It should be about making a melody of your heart to the Lord. He says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Express joy. Express thanksgiving to God. We could all sit here tonight and share great sorrow. Can't we? Some disappointment. Somewhere where the devil got in and shredded some things and broadsided us. But I'll tell you what, our joy and our thanksgiving should outweigh those things for all that God has done. Lastly, notice we are to submit ourselves one to another with respect. He says in verse 21 of Ephesians 5, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Back up in chapter 4, verse 32, he says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. What he's saying to us, he's saying that a wise person will have mutual consideration for others. A wise person will be considerate of other people. If you have reverence for God, you'll show respect to one another. That's a living being. That's a creation of God. We're to be kind to one another. We're to be tender-hearted to one another. We'll be forgiving to one another. How? As God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. You see, we need to choose wisdom. In Proverbs 4, verse 5 through 7, the Bible says, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Would you stand with me tonight? Let me tell you this. We live in a day where people have been given great opportunities to serve God and to live righteously, have a wonderful marriage, have a wonderful family, and they've thrown it away. Can I tell you this? God's given us a book. It's called the Bible. And in it, there's 66 books. And in that, it's full of principles that God expects us to live our lives by. Now, here it is. He doesn't make us do it. We're free agents to do what we want to do. But even Moses knew that to be called the son of Pharaoh, he could enjoy sin for a season. And he chose to suffer the affliction with God's people. He walked out of that and chose the hard road. And I don't think the Christian life is the hard road. I tell you what's the hard road was when we were a child of hell. That's the hard road. That's the hard way. Be careful with your decisions. Make wisdom the primary thing. What does God say about it? Can I tell you this? Whatever you're thinking, whatever decision you're making, God's got an opinion on it. Find out what He tells, what He thinks. Lord, help us tonight to be people of wisdom. Not educated people, not people of great academics, not history and English and math scholars. But God, help us to be students of understanding and wisdom, that we would know the principles of God and that we would harness our free will. We'd harness our decision by what thus saith the Word of God. God, help us to be separated from the wickedness and the activities of this world. God, help us to be soul conscious in everything that we do, all that we say. God, help us to develop into spiritual people and leave the carnality out of our life. People who used to once come soul winning, Lord, help them to come back. For wisdom tells us we only have so much time to serve you. And wisdom tells us that if people don't receive you, they'll burn in a devil's hell for all eternity. God, show us areas that are lacking. And help us not to be proud or offended or arrogant. May we humble ourselves and make wisdom the principal thing. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I so much want the wisdom of God. You can take a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And there are people who have forsaken the principles of God's Word, not realizing that they've offended God and they've broached some areas that cost them the blessings of God in their life. And they're not going to feel the recompense of that tomorrow, the next day. It may be 4, 5, 6, maybe 7 years, and then they'll see. Until that time, let us not move. Let us not bend. Let us not compromise. Let's watch our testimonies. Let's satisfy God. Let's have God's approval in what we say and what we do. Lord, help us to be wise. For true, it is true that wisdom is the principal thing, and the price of it is far above rubies. Help us to live our life daily in the consciousness that God is there, and help us to make decisions based off biblical principle and not our flesh that brings destruction and defeat. May we be people with God's wisdom. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. 2020 is still young. We've got a clean slate. We've got a new year. We're starting over. This morning we talked about the importance of being an influence for God. Being an influence for Him. Determined to make a difference. Tonight, let me tell you where that difference is going to come from. It's going to be the wisdom of God in our life. Tonight, let me encourage you to come tonight and say, Lord, help me to walk as wise. Let me ask yourself,